Good morning and welcome to another edition of Studies in the Gospels on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer, your host of this program, where each week we examine the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And today we are going to be considering John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36, and the thought of the truth shall make you free. Now, in the overall picture, we're in a section of our study that we are referring to as the year of development in Jerusalem. So let's get right into our lesson today from John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. One of the most well-known quotes of Jesus is John chapter 8 and verse 32. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Men often use this verse in a political vein to refer to freedom from various types of political oppression. It is often used in relation to the freedom of the press and freedom of speech. But John was speaking of something totally different in chapter 8 in verse 32. He spoke about something of much greater importance than political issues. Truth only comes from one source. Let's consider our text. "Then Jesus said to those who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say, you will be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.'" So first, let's consider the freedom of which Jesus speaks. There is freedom from sin and freedom from the bondage of sin. Let's consider freedom from sin. The Jews did not correctly interpret the words of Jesus. Notice verse 33. "They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say, you will be made free?' They proudly bragged that they had never been in bondage or oppression. What a ridiculous statement by the Jews. They said, 'We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone.' Yet, at that very moment, they were living under Roman occupation. And how quickly they had forgotten the bondage of the past under Egypt and Assyria and Babylonian captivities. Jesus gives an explanation of what he said. Notice verses 34 through 36. "Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave of sin does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus is speaking of the slavery of sin, and he is offering freedom from the bondage of sin. Now, first and foremost, there is the guilt of sin. All men are confronted with this guilt. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." John said in 1 John chapter 1 verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." All men are under the guilt of sin. Even if it were possible that we could commit only one sin, we would still be under that guilt. Notice James chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law." There is also a certain power of sin. When a man commits sin, he makes himself a slave to sin. Notice John chapter 8 and verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." The Apostle Paul points out to us the situation that one finds themselves in as a slave to sin. Go with me to Romans chapter 7, and there let's pick up in verse 14. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what am I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If, then, I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God, according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Spiritual slavery is a much more oppressive state than that of physical slavery. For man may legislate political freedom, but only Jesus can provide freedom from the slavery of sin. Let's consider now how Jesus offers this freedom to man. The truth of which Jesus speaks. What is the freedom which Jesus speaks of? That truth is his doctrine. And we must obey his doctrine. Let's notice his doctrine. The truth of which Jesus speaks of is his own word or doctrine. Verses 31 and 32 said, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" Jesus' doctrine offers freedom from the bondage of sin. We are freed from guilt, the guilt of sin, through the blood of Christ. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28. "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul said, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." His doctrine frees us from the power of sin through the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Notice now Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." It is his doctrine which we must obey. We must obey his doctrine to be his disciples indeed. Notice John chapter 8 and verse 31. "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed.'" Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" We must obey his doctrine in order to be set free from sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Hebrews 5 and verse 9 says, "And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." And so we can find that the truth of which Jesus speaks, the freedom of which Jesus speaks, this begins with baptism, in which we are baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And just a moment later in verse 6, he said, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." It's baptism in which we die to sin and are thus freed from sin. Again, let's notice verse 6 there in Romans 6 and the verses following. "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The guilt of sin is removed by the blood of Christ." Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Also, we see in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Sin's power is weakened by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, we think back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Ephesians 3 and verse 16, "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." Through baptism, we rise to the newness of life, free now to serve God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, "Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." In that same chapter, beginning in verse 11, "Likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Remember Romans 6 and verses 17 and 18. But God be thanked, that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. The Christian will rise with the aid of the continual cleansing of the blood of Jesus. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We rise with the aid of the Spirit in putting to death the deeds of the body. Romans 8, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The truth of Jesus continues in us by abiding in his word. Again, back to our text, think of verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Also remember 2 John in verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So as we bring everything together this morning, hopefully we can appreciate better the significance of the Great Commission. To make disciples by baptizing them. Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hopefully we will go and make disciples by teaching them to observe all things that Christ has commanded. Matthew 28 and verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When we carry out the Great Commission into all the world, we offer the truth that really makes one free. Freedom from sin and freedom from that burden which truly oppresses mankind. Are you under the heavy burden of sin, both its guilt and its power? Listen to the words of Jesus and heed his call. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. accept his call to discipleship this day. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And remember his promise in verse 36 of our text today in John chapter 8. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Thank you for joining us today here on Studies in the Gospels. Remember, this program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. It'll be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. Also, if the Lord wills, we'll see you again next week at this same time for another program in Studies in the Gospels from the Life of Christ. Till we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a wonderful day.